All right, here we go. Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And I need to start remembering Merry Christmas to everybody also. Dave Souders is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. D9597 is on. Melly Martin is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Peg McGroin, McGroin Nation is on. Why Not Me is on. Lizzie859 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Judy Anita is on. KepGuy1 is on. Deb New 2011 is on. LA106 Times is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Joe Ends or something like that is on. Appreciate you. I see you all the time. Appreciate you. Grididum is on. Tammy L. Margaret is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Jayanna Jones is on. Goozy 600 is on. Sexy Pony's on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Jim Brody is on. Milwaukee James is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Stevie 1973. Hey, hello back to you up in Canada, Stevie 1973. Rafa 9821 is on. Mobetta 01 is on. K4VMS is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Sheila K is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Todd Suff is on. Let me see here. Tim L. T. Bird is on. Anybody I missed here? Scrolling down. Glory be to God is on. Cue the band is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. Just off of the pregame, a couple observations. I haven't done any many pregame observations recently. You have to love Biden in these waning moments. I don't mean of his life. I mean of his presidency. You just have to love it right now. He's sticking it to the cabal. I mean, it's awesome. He basically sabotaged Kamala Harris every chance he had during the election. You have to love that. I mean, I can't stand Biden. He's a wretched, horrible person, wretched, horrible father, wretched, horrible husband, wretched, horrible senator, wretched, horrible vice president, and the worst president in American history. But let's all appreciate Joe Biden in December, you know, I mean, and November. I mean, he did a great job for us. Thank you, Joe. I mean, we need to appreciate it. I mean, it's great. As Nancy Pelosi's trying to rehab from a broken hip in Belgium. He's sticking it to her suddenly after being in the Senate, I believe, since what, the mid-70s? All the way up to 2024 as president. He's never even mentioned that members of Congress or Senate should not be able to trade in stocks, as he's been one of the biggest recipients of malfeasance on Capitol Hill, financial malfeasance on Capitol Hill. He's never mentioned, not one time, that congressmen or women or senators should not be able to trade stocks until, Aaron, what's the date today? December
18th.
December 18th of 2024. And now, suddenly, he may have said it yesterday, but it was released today or whatever, but suddenly here in mid-December of 2024, suddenly Joe Biden has grown a conscience and has decided that nobody on Capitol Hill should be trading stocks. You know, you really shouldn't be trading stocks when you're overseeing the companies to which you are trading stocks in. Like if you're on the Energy Commission, you're on the, you know, they have various conferences inside of Congress. And if you're in charge of energy, you probably shouldn't be trading in Exxon stocks, but that's happening all the time. And if you're wondering why they're releasing the Gates investigation out of the House Ethics Committee, which we'll get deep into in just a minute, the reason why they're doing that is because the people on the House Ethics Committee were exposed by Matt Gaetz for their very suspiciously successful stock trades. But this has been going on for years, where basically what congressmen and women are overseeing, they're trading in those stocks. So they're regulating pharma, they're trading in pharma stocks. If they're regulating energy, they're trading in energy stocks. So when they actually do a regulation, let's just say that shuts down energy production, they sell off stock. If they are passing legislation that will increase energy production, they buy energy stock. And that's how they all get very, very rich. And by the way, the CR, which is the first thing, this, I just want to warn everybody, this might be the most boring TLP in history. I mean, I already warned that like last week. I can't remember what it was for, yeah. But I don't remember what the subject matter was. But we, you know, talking about continuing resolutions, I mean, we have to do it, though. Listen, the most sexy things aren't really what causes the most problems. What causes the most problems is that we are $37 trillion in debt and accumulating $1 trillion worth of debt about every 90 days. We're not 37 yet, but we will be before Trump takes office. And the last thing I have to say off of the pregame is this. I love that Mad Al video. It's one of the best videos of the day. where you see Maddow using polls to steer an election, not polls as a reflection of where the election is at. The polls are used to steer an election, where Maddow was saying in 2016, she was saying that Trump was down in South Carolina by, I don't know how what percentage it was that he was. Oh, no, she said in South Carolina they were even. This is 2016. Trump and Hillary were even. Trump won by 15%. This year, she got all excited about the Seltzer Iowa poll, where Kamala was up by 4%. Trump won by 13.5%. They're just all freaking liars, disgusting liars, devoid of a conscience, devoid of a soul, sleep like babies at night, being the embodiment of Joseph Goebbels. All right, let's go to the CR. Citizen Free Press video. Trump says he's totally against the Mike Johnson bill. Play it for me.
In the last couple of minutes, Donald Trump has told Fox News he is, quote, totally against the proposed continuing resolution bill that has just been floated by Congress. And a lot of people haven't had a chance to read it. It's more than 1,700 pages. But that spending bill is not sitting well with the president-elect. Again, please keep in mind that the House is controlled by Republicans. So this is engendering a lot of Sturm und Drang at the moment. And considering we do see a big drop here, we do see the NASDAQ down 648 points, S&P down 163. So maybe not entirely driven by the Federal Reserve saying the economy is strong, so only two rate cuts next year versus four. Joining me now with 4.1.
And we're going to deep dive into what's in this CR, so I don't want to jump ahead of it. But I just want to say this. Why is there anything on this CR? It's continuing resolution. In other words, the government's going to be shut down on the 20th of this month. That's Friday, Aaron? Is that the 20th?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, let's calculate. Yeah, what is it? Yep. Okay, there you go. Yep. So there you go. So the 20th is Friday. And this is what they do every year is they put out a Christmas bill, which we're going to get deep into all this, so I don't want to jump ahead. But I'm just saying, why is there anything in this CR that's not Republican? That's not conservative? Because we own the House. Why is there anything in there that's has anything to do with the Democratic Party approval or the Democratic Party agenda? Why is there anything that's of the globalist agenda? If it's a conservative Congress, which this is a lame duck Congress, but it's going to be a conservative Congress after January 3rd when they all get sworn in again anyway. So why is there anything in there that's anything but conservative? Why? You're about to have, get this now, a conservative president, a conservative Senate, and a conservative House, and a conservative judiciary for the first time in a long time. So why is there anything in here that satiates the Democratic Party? Why would there be anything in here that makes them happy? Why would there be anything in here like that? Why? Because most Republicans vote Democrat. I'm not kidding you. They do. You really think Mike Johnson voted for Donald J. Trump? Oh, Tom, come on. He's a conservative Christian. What does Christian mean anymore? What Christian means now is that you simply accommodate everything with a smile on your face. Look, I'm nicer about my accommodation than the world is. You are the world. The Christianity is no longer obeying the Bible. If it was obeying the Bible, the word of God, which is Jesus, 1 John 5:7, Jesus is the word. That's also John 1:1 and John 1:14. But anyway, if that was the case, then if Mike Johnson was a legitimate evangelical Christian, why did he fund Planned Parenthood in his last minibus bill? Why? Why did he fund transgender surgeries for minors in his last minibus bill if he's legitimately an evangelical Christian? And why was he funding any of those things again in the minibus bill back in, what was it, May, something along those lines, where they funded $1.7 trillion? Why would you fund it? Why would you fund it when you have a conservative Congress? Why? Because if we don't fund it, the government's going to shut down. Who gives a crap? Who cares? Aaron, what have you got from the federal government this month?
Nothing.
Okay, me neither. Will? Nothing. From the federal government? Nothing. Got anything this month? I mean, I don't. You see the feds driving by every day? I don't see the feds. The feds can't even decipher what a drone is. It's exactly a month now that have been flying over to Jersey, November 18th to December 18th. They can't even decipher what those are yet. I'm perfectly fine with them shutting down, which, by the way, you never need to shut down because you can individually finance departments via what's called clean bills or line item bills, which I'll get into all that. Elon Musk tweet. Oh, thank you, Aaron. What do we got? March 2024, Biden signs $469 billion FY2024 minibus spending bill. There you go. So it was March. Yeah. March. There you go. All right, let's go to the next one. Elon Musk tweet. Any member of the House, this absolutely rocked Capitol Hill today. Rocked them, which I'll show you in just a minute. Any member of the House or Senate who votes for this outrageous spending bill deserves to be voted out in 2 years. Absolutely. Republican, look at all the views. And that was a long time ago. I guarantee it's over 5 million views now. That, listen, that's Republican or Democrat, but we can't do anything about the, you know, the worthless Democrats. But any Republican that votes for this is voting for a Democratic Party bill. You're like, Tom, this is being proffered. Listen, this is a 1,500-page bill. Jeez. That nobody has in your hands. You're probably going to ask tonight, Tom, I would like more detail about what's inside of this CR. I can't because they haven't released it yet, and they're voting for it on Friday. And correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, isn't it Wednesday night?
Yep.
And if you receive, let me ask Aaron and Will, you guys can both chime in. If I gave you a book to read and you had to give me a report on it by Friday night for the podcast, and it was 1,500 pages, how would you guys do with that?
That would not go well.
Yeah, it would not go well. Okay, no. So nobody's going to read a bill they're voting on. What they do is hold them, they hold them at ransom by or extortion by saying, vote on it now or you're not going home for Christmas. That's what happens every year. Every year. The very definition of insanity. Doing the exact same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. All right, let's go to the next one. This is Benny Johnson video breaking. Fox News reports Elon Musk post that I just showed you, vowing to fund primary challenges against Republicans who support the continuing resolution, have effectively killed the bill. We'll see. Play it for me.
We're told right now in the past 30 or 40 minutes here that they might try to pull this interim spending bill off the floor and maybe just go with a clean bill, unclear what that means for disaster assistance. Here's what happened. A post on X by Elon Musk sent shockwaves through the Capitol. House Republicans were trying to see if they have enough votes to pass the spending bill in the next hour or two. Musk posted that anyone who votes yes should lose their office in 2 years, and lawmakers are scrambling.
The tweets from Musk, and has that complicated this?
Well, I mean, I think that there's always a lot of interest in what's happening up here, and
this is more than interest. They're telling people if they vote yes, they should be voted out.
The social media world is a part of our politics, and I think members have to expect that. There'll be a lot of hard votes in the next couple of years.
A member of the House Republican leadership told Fox that Musk is not helping. The lawmaker added that Musk has bigger fish to fry than picking a fight with House Republicans. One source said the bill is now bleeding support from the GOP. When asked how many Democrats the GOP needs to pass the bill, a senior aide replied, quote, a lot. Lawmakers who had hurricanes devastate their districts are torn.
The fact is that, look, this is a sandwich. I don't know how else to say that. We're being forced into this position. They could have done a standalone. They did this because they knew that it would put members in this position to support it. We're damned if we do. We're damned if we don't.
Now, the bill has about $100 billion in disaster relief, nearly $30 billion to restock FEMA's coffers, and there are lots of health care provisions. Jamming everything together in one bill means some Republicans will not support Mike Johnson for Speaker in January.
Have any other of your colleagues said that they're not voting for Johnson?
I've talked to a few, you know, who don't seem like they're going to vote for him. You have to ask them. I'm not going to betray anybody's position.
Will you just vote present or will you vote someone else's?
I'll vote for somebody else.
Now, Johnson can only lose one vote and still win the speaker's race on January 3rd. Some Republicans ask how things are different with a spending bill like this under Johnson than former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. The funding deadline is Friday night.
Neil? So let's edit the TLP real quick as well. Will told me when I asked him if he received anything from the feds. He does get some small disability stuff. Is that what the deal from the?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to call it small. Maybe it's not small. That's his personal business. He gets a check for disabilities from the military, from injuries incurred while he was in the military, which to me is not a federal benefit. That's something that he earned. So anyway,
right.
So we just want to make that clear in case we ever get fact checked by anybody, which is a possibility, especially if we get bigger. So, you know, you never know. Look at the LA lie on the TLP. Well, you know what? We don't lie because we just, yeah, that's what you call saying, you know what? That's what you call editing or retraction or an apology, whatever it may be. But anyway, so just on that video, John Thune's condescension was palatable. A lot of people have a lot of interest in what goes on up here. Really, John? Yeah, you know what? We do have a lot of interest in what you do up there because what you do in there has a whole heck of a lot to do with our daily lives, Johnny. And oh, the social media has a big part in our politics. Now, yeah, Johnny, it does. This the condescension by the Mitch McConnell clone is just so irritating. Yeah, they have a lot of interest in what goes on up here. Yeah, no kidding, John. Yeah, we have a lot of interest in our governance. Yeah, we do, Johnny. And then you're hearing from Republicans. Musk is not helping. Not helping with what? Yeah, he is not helping you bankrupt the country. He is not helping you pass another Democratic Party bill under the Republican banner. Yeah, he's not helping. He's not helping you to add another $1 trillion to the debt in the next 90 days. Yeah, he's not helping. This is amazing. What do you consider to be help? Again, everything's inverted in this world. Christianity no longer means Christianity. Conservatism no longer means conservatism. Republican now means Democrat. How exactly is he not helping? Isn't he helping by not allowing you to bankrupt the country? Or do you mean he's not helping by not helping you bankrupt the country? And he says, in this same congressperson or a different congressperson says, doesn't Musk have bigger fish to fry? No, Doge. Doge is about the Department of Government Efficiency. What other fish? Not only does he not have a bigger fish to fry, he has no other fish to fry. This is his fish. See what I mean, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
This is, what other fish is there?
It's literally the point.
It's literally the point. Thank you, Aaron. That's literally the reason why he's there, is to fry that fish. I've never spit this much in a podcast. This stuff enrages me. It really does. All right, let's watch Thomas Massie. This Thomas Massie video, actually. Watch Thomas Massie as a prophet 1 year ago. 1 year and 2 months ago. Play for me, Will.
Gentleman from Kentucky is recognized for questions.
Well, here we are. This is where I said we were going to be 3 weeks ago before the drama started. I said there would be some drama with the bright, shiny object called the SAVE Act. I said that was going to get stripped off and you were going to get a clean CR. I also predicted this would fall right before Christmas. And I believe this does fall on December 20th. Now, why have we picked December 20th? Because it's the same reason we always have December 20th. Everybody up here is human. There are no AIs or robots in Congress. And when you get to December 20th, you're 5 days from Christmas. You're 4 days from Christmas Eve. And you desperately want to be there with your family. So this is when the leadership here has the maximum influence, and again, I'm talking to the Democrats and the Republicans because you've seen it on the Democrat side of the aisle. They love to pick the week before Christmas for this showdown because you can smell the jet fuel fumes over at DCA. It smells like Christmas, that you're going to get to go home and open presents. I've been in HC5 when literally the Speaker of the House, not the Speaker we have now, walks in and says, if you vote for this, you can go home and unwrap presents with your kids. And if you don't vote for this, you're going to spend Christmas here with Nancy Pelosi. And then the chant starts, vote, 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 vote. Literally, people get enthusiastic to vote for something that they haven't read. So let me predict what we're not going to do on December 20th before I take a guess at what we're going to do. What we're not going to do, we're not going to do 12 separate bills. We are not going to spend this time. We've got a few months between now and December 20th. We could go back to working on appropriations bills. We are not going to do this. This sucker, whatever happens on December 20th, whether it's another CR to punt, to kick the can down the road for three more months, or whether it's an omnibus that funds all of government with one bill, it's going to be written behind closed doors. And every lobbyist in this town is going to try to attach their little thing to this bill. This train is leaving the station on December 20th. It's the only one that we know is going to pass. They call it up here must-pass legislation. So everybody's going to try and get their little thing on this bill, whatever it is on December 20th, whether it's another continuing resolution or another omnibus.
And that video appears to be from this year, doesn't it? But look at the date. Rep. Thomas Massey, thank you guys for being so quick. People get enthusiastic to vote for something they haven't read. 9/23 of 2024. So, I mean, again, he just said this. I mean, it's from this year, but it's from a few months ago. He predicted, look, lo and behold, this is going to happen a few months from now. And how did he predict it? Because it's what happened the year before. And he said it's always 2020, and it's always written behind closed doors. This is from, I said it was from a year ago. I thought it was from a year ago, but it's just from a few months ago because I saw the 23, so I thought, but it's from a few months ago. But he predicted it. So he said, and this is late September, October, November. He's predicting that, lo and behold, this is going to be written behind closed doors, and it's going to come out the week of 2020. It's going to be held over our heads on 2020 because it's 4 days from Christmas Eve, 5 days from Christmas Day. And it's exactly what, how would he know that? Now, I thought it was a year and 2 months in advance, but how would he know it a year and 2.5 months in advance? I mean, actually 2.5 months in advance. Because it happens every single year by Republicans and Democrats. As he said, that shows you there's no difference between the parties. Again, and I don't want to delve too deep into this, but please understand that there's a big difference between the Republican platform and MAGA than regular establishment Republicans, even people you don't necessarily call rhinos. There's a big difference. What they do is orchestrate what I call a synergistic tension on Capitol Hill, making you believe as they vote for and against different bills that you have somebody there representing your conservative values. You really don't, outside of people like Massey, outside of people like Matt Gaetz, outside of people like, just whether you agree with them, doesn't mean you agree with them 100% of the time. Boebert, MTG, people like that. Ron Johnson in the Senate, Rand Paul in the Senate, people legitimate conservatives who will risk their jobs to vote conservative. But what they do, it's Republicans and Democrats. Like I always describe, it's like a traveling roadshow play. And you just play a part so that everybody believes they're receiving representation. Now, the left is receiving representation because the left is receiving sole representation because there's nobody there but leftists. Listen, if you're a leftist, congratulations. You have representation in both parties. Because both parties usher these omnibus CR spending packages forward that fund leftist things, leftist policies, leftist initiatives, leftist organizations. They both fund them. People that run in Iowa, like Joni Ernst, as a conservative, only vote conservative 49% of the time. And they only do the 49% of the time so that they can be reelected, and they make sure when they do vote conservative, it's on some innocuous bill that will never actually be made into policy. Like Johnny McCain, he spent his whole career running as a conservative and voting as a Democrat. But people say, well, yeah, but they confirmed conservative judges. They only do that so they have a measure of credibility and legitimacy. And they only vote conservative when they know the bill cannot become law. Again, I don't mean to be redundant, but there was 8 times John McCain voted against Obamacare, because if he voted against Obamacare, he knew that there weren't enough votes in the Senate to override a presidential veto from Obama. And when they finally had Trump in office, he voted to keep Obamacare. Yep. That's the Republican Party. Not all Republicans, but that is the Republican Party. We all need to start understanding this and voting people out of office. Again, I don't mean to be redundant, but I'm just saying. You have choices in primaries. The electable Republicans, because we think he's electable. Yeah, he may lean a little bit left on some things, but he's electable. He's going to beat. He's going to beat the Democrat. Well, what's the point of having him beat the Democrat if he is a Democrat?
Right.
What's the point? Run the legitimate conservative who could lose to the Democrat, because here, regardless if you have the Republican who votes as a Democrat, that could beat the Democrat, you end up with a Democrat. If you have the Democrat that beats the conservative, you end up with the Democrat. So run the legitimate conservative. Run the person who will vote themselves out of office. So that's what's happening on Capitol Hill. It's always the same thing. 2020 is always the date, and it's always written behind closed doors, and everybody's extorted into voting for it. Everybody's leveraged into voting for it using Christmas. Thomas Massey just said, they tell everybody, vote on this now, 1,500-page bill that you don't have the opportunity to read. Vote for it now. And by the way, just try reading it. I tried to read a portion of it today. It's purposely written so that you can't understand it. But anyway, so 1,500 pages you can't read. So everybody, remember Nancy Pelosi, you vote on it so that you can see what's in it.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Because that's the case. Because after you vote it, after you actually vote it into policy, you vote it into law, so to speak, then you have time afterwards to read it after you voted it in. That's like taking a drug, having no idea what it will do to you, but you can find out after you take it. Oh, wow. It says here it might kill me. Go, Aaron.
I was going to say, did you hear that Elon Musk apparently is going to work with making Grok, his AI thing, be able to read all of these bills and spit out essentially like what every single line item does?
Listen, folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know what? You need to find somebody to love you like I love Elon Musk. And I know, listen, my heart could be broken at any time. I know it could be broken. It could be broken at any time. But I'm just saying that. You know, come on, a guy who just put, I mean, this is a guy who was leaning left not a year ago, okay, maybe 2 years ago. He was leaning left, and now he's actually putting out tweets saying anybody who votes for this thing needs to be primaried out of office. And now listen, we all know what version of AI is going to be the greatest. We already know.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can try to compete with Elon all they want. Good luck with that. You might as well just go home and kick yourself in the nuts. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. So if Grok can read these bills, it'll set it up where there's an algorithm in there where it actually points out ridiculous bull crap, and that'll be what it highlights on Grok as it comes out on Twitter. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right, so anyway, Massey said that it's always a Christmas CR forced down our throat using Christmas as leverage. What did Johnson say about that? Now, you saw Thomas Massey's predictions in September of 24. And now let's look at Johnson's predictions from September of 24, or his prognostications in 2024, or his stances in September of 2024 versus his stance now in December of 2024. Play for me, Will.
But overall, with the CR, as our leader just noted, we have broken the Christmas omni. And I have no intention of going back to that terrible tradition. So there won't be a Christmas omnibus. As somebody asked me in the hallway a little while ago, will there be many buses? We don't want any buses. We're not going to do any buses, okay?
And we got to get through this. So, look, everybody understands the necessity. It is not palatable. This is the sausage-making part of legislation that nobody likes. But we're governing, and we'll pick it up in January and start a brand-new day for America.
Spineless little soulless worm. Mike Johnson says something completely opposite in September 2024. He says, no more minibuses, no more buses of any kind, with Stevie Scalise laughing in the background, because they're both spineless little rhino worms. You're like, Tom, but I can show you where they vote for conservative things only when it doesn't count.
Yep.
Only when it's not going to be policy or law. Then they vote conservative to give themselves legitimacy. Why is there anything in this bill that's not conservative, that doesn't push forward the conservative agenda? Why? If we own the Congress. Even if the Senate turns it down right now, we're on them both in a month. It's over in a month. And by the way, you can let the government shut down for a month. We've had it shut down for a month before. Who cares? It didn't affect you. It doesn't affect me. And then he does the exact opposite of what he said in September in December. No more buses. And then he does it. No, they don't call it a bus. They call it a continuous resolution. Well, that was the same thing as the minibus bill. That was a continuing resolution also. All right, let's go to the next one. Elon Musk video, Vivek Ramaswamy. Now we're going to get into what is in this CR. Get ready now because you're not going to be happy. Elon Musk video, but with Vivek Ramaswamy laying out what's in the CR. Play it for me, Will.
Congress is about to pass a bill that blows away your taxpayer money, but they made it over 1,500 pages long so you wouldn't read it. I did you a favor. I read it for you.
It's supposed to be about keeping government operations open and providing disaster relief aid to hurricane victims, which I'm sympathetic to. But if you read the bill carefully, it contains pay raises for members of Congress, and I'm not making this up, an expansion of their federal health benefits. It contains all kinds of special interests and pork funding, including opening up a new stadium in Washington, D.C. It renews the Global Engagement Center, which is a key node of the censorship industrial complex. And the worst part is, they didn't want you to know about any of it, and that's why they made this a last-minute jam job. The reason I'm co-heading DOGE is I think we need outsiders to bring actual accountability to Washington, D.C. So feel free to call your congressman and let him know how you feel about it.
So $30 billion, a couple of, in each one of these slides or each one of these videos that you see, I'm pulling out like one specific thing or one or two specific things that's in this CR that's absolutely outrageous. So in this one, that Vivek Ramaswamy, he names a bunch of things, but we're going to cover those things individually in just a minute. But the one thing we're going to cover out of that video is the Global Engagement Center gets fully funded by Mike Johnson. Now, the Global Engagement Center's sole job, sole purpose, sole vision for life is to ban you and me. To ban us from social media. That's it. I don't have time to get into the origins. The banning on social media all began in 2014, just so you know. Out of who was speaking against the Ukraine color revolution. Okay, I don't have time to get into that. You want to hear a detailed explanation of that? Mike Benz. But anyway, the Global Initiative Center is a CIA cutout. And all that it is, it's a center put into place so that they can recommend the banning of conservative speech or recommend advertisers not advertise on conservative platforms or conservative accounts. That's all that it is. And Mike Johnson's funding it. Why? Why would you fund it? You're banning your own people because we're not his people. He wants me banned. He wants Alex Jones banned. He's against everything Alex Jones says. He wants Bongino banned. He wants Bannon banned. Because he's against us. He's not for us. Why would he? If he was for us, then why would he want us banned? Let's go to the next one. Amy Raycard video. Don't worry. Now, $30 billion going to FEMA. $30 billion, Aaron. $30 billion going to FEMA. That's worked out real well. I couldn't get them to pick up trash at the back of the church.
That's true.
I did it myself. I know you've heard me say this 87 times, but I'm going to tell you, here's number 88. I spent the $8,000 to get it picked up because they wouldn't pick it up. Amy Raycard video, because that was after Hurricane Ian. $2 million in FEMA funds were just awarded for holiday travel. Holiday travel for who? Quiet, Aaron. Illegal immigrants.
Oh. What? Not yeah. You?
No. The weather outside is... No, I don't get any. I got nothing. I got squat, okay? $2 million in FEMA funds were just awarded. We got to make sure we reimburse FEMA with $30 billion. For holiday travel for illegal immigrants by California politicians. You're like, well, it's California. No, it's FEMA funds. It's federal. You and I are paying for it. So you and I are paying for the funds that California politicians are allocating to illegals so they can go have a snowy Christmas. Quit laughing, Aaron. All right, here's the video. Amy Raycard, play for me.
Get this. $2 million in FEMA money was just awarded to illegal aliens in California for holiday travel. United States citizens have lost their home because of floods and hurricanes, and they get nothing for Christmas. But the far left is here, want to make sure that illegal aliens have walking around money just in time for the holidays.
That makes me feel good that a bunch of illegal aliens will now be able to walk around on a Christmas around a Christmas village, spending money on Christmas ornaments and other like candy canes, using my money. That really makes me happy, doesn't it? And adding to the $1 trillion worth of debt that we're adding to our national debt every 90 days. Isn't that great? Let's go to the next one. This is what's in the CR. McAvoy's tweet, holy bleep. Buried deep within the CR, Congress is allowed to block subpoenas for House data. This includes emails, which means this could prevent investigations into the J6 committee. I thought Mike Johnson was on our side. He wrote the bill. then Mike Johnson wrote the bill. I mean, he had staffers write the bill for him, right? Why is this in here? Why would Mike Johnson not want the J6 committee that was run by Democrats, and all the crime that was committed on the J6 committee was committed by Democrats or Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, which are Democrats? Why would he want to block investigations into that? Because he is them. That's why. Let's go to the next one. MAGA voice tweet. Holy ass again. And once again, buried deep within the CR. Congress wants to fund 12 biolabs for infectious disease. Which, by the way, I'm going to play this in a minute with Glenn Beck. This includes gain of function research. Isn't that great? I guess we haven't learned our lesson yet. Are we going to fund gain? We're going to continue to fund it in a foreign adversary's country? Just imagine that. Imagine. I know you've heard me say this before, but in 1942, us sending money to Mengele to do bio research in downtown Berlin. We do that now, just so you know, with people who have killed just as many of their people as Mengele killed of his and Hitler killed of his. The CCP and the PLA have killed 500 million of their own people, let alone the people they've killed around the globe, not to mention the Uyghur Muslims who they're daily raping and doing live experimentations on. So Americans do not want to fund this. And look at the bottom. No fewer than 12 regional biocontainment laboratories for the purposes of conducting biomedical research to support public health and medical preparedness. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Let's go to Tom Fitton tweet. So I see the CR allows members of Congress to get off Obamacare exchanges. Rules for thee and not for me. So once again, they have funded their own gold-plated insurance while most Americans are stuck on the Obamacare exchanges, which Johnny McCain left in place in 2017. Because once again, as a Republican, he never was a Republican. And I mean legitimately, folks. I mean they are operating Democrats. I don't mean, well, you know, they're squishy Republicans or they're rhino Republicans, they're part-time Republicans. No. Do we honestly believe that Mitt Romney has ever voted for a Republican for president? Do you really believe it? Lindsey Graham, that was the one thing I didn't talk about from the pregame. Lindsey Graham is going to the Trump campaign telling them, do not elect that horrible, wretched person. Do not nominate that horrible, wretched person, J.D. Vance, as your vice presidential nominee. Don't do it. And then right after Trump appoints him as his vice president, to run as vice president, Lindsey Graham starts going on social media. Oh, just congratulations to my good friend, J.D. Vance. Excellent choice, Donald Trump. That's who these people are. And then votes against both of them. He voted for Joe Biden or for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden in 4 years before that. All right, so let's go to the next one. Rep. Nancy Mace. Why does the CR redefine murderers, rapists, child rapists, kidnappers, terrorists, cartel members, and drug dealers? They're no longer called criminals. They're called criminal. These are criminals as in criminal offenders and should be labeled as such. What do they name them as? They are called justice-involved individuals. Oh, my
gosh. What?
Yeah.
What?
So now a murderer, rapist, child rapist, kidnapper, a child rapist is now called a justice-involved individual. Yeah, drug traffickers, human traffickers, domestic abusers, child pornographers, arsonists, serial killers, and even cannibals are now called justice-involved persons, like minor attracted people.
Yeah.
See how that works? And now, wait a minute. Why would this be done by a Republican if they were actually a Republican? Because this is a Republican Congress that wrote this bill. Explain that to me. Tom, it just sounds like you're against Republicans. No, I'm a registered Republican. I've always voted Republican. I vote down ballot Republican. I don't even look. If it says an R next to their name, I vote for him. I'm certainly over Democrat. But if this is a Republican, but there's vast changes that need to occur inside the Republican Party. In that, if you're going to be a Republican, even if we lose half of our Republicans, again, what's the point? If we lose half of Republicans, the Mitt Romneys of the world, the Lindsey Grahams of the world, the Mitch McConnells of the world, they all go and become, the Lincoln Project idiots, all these alleged Republicans, the Republicans against Trump account on Twitter. You lose all of them, and you lose, so you lose half of the Republican Party. Well, you already had half of the Republican Party voting Democrat, so what's the difference? What's the difference? At least we know who's on our side, and then we can actually recruit real conservative people and try to rebuild the Republican Party. And anyway, Donald Trump removes a lot of them anyway just by being Trump. They're all voting Democrat anyway already, so we don't even need to worry about them doing a mass exodus. So, I mean, again, if you're a do Republicans use terminology? A Republican? A conservative? Do you and I use the terminology criminal or justice-involved individuals? Which one do we use? Criminal offenders or justice-involved individuals? The people who want you to use verbiage like justice-involved individuals are the same people legislating the word manhole out of government. You're not allowed to use the word manhole cover anymore.
Right.
Because actually, that's something they're actually attracted to. Manholes. That's probably why they want it out. But anyway, let's go to the next one. Congressman Greg Stube, who's had on the show, and is my local congressman. Great guy. Another military veteran. There is no way I'm voting for this Christmas parade of horribles. Awesome. Play it for me.
Can't somebody write the 20 pages that he's talking about and do that bill instead of the 1,500-page monstrosity that is trying to be crammed through right now?
Yeah, we could, but our speaker is going to the Democrats to cut a deal with Democrats and not talking to conservative, certainly conservative Republicans in the conference that would do just that. Instead, we're giving trade relations, like trade issues with Haiti are in the CR, where that country isn't even run by a viable government right now. There's no democracy there. There's so many different, there's healthcare related issues in the bill. There's, we're going to pay off the bridge in Baltimore that was taken out by a private entity that should be having to pay for that out of their insurance. There's all these Democratic priorities in this bill, and that is not what the American people gave us an agenda to do just 43 short days ago.
Yeah, Greg Stube shoots it straight. Why are we cutting a deal with Democrats? You don't have to. You own the House. It's going to pass in the House. Why do you have to cut a deal with Democrats? You have the majority. It's not going through Senate anyway. It's not going to be passed in the Senate. We don't own the Senate. Kamala Harris is the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. We're not going to win it anyway. So what are they trying to do? Make it soft enough to pass the Senate? Pass in the Senate? Why? Going to own the Senate on January 3rd. I know Congress or the Senate swears in on January 3rd. It may not be both on the same day. It might be a different day or whatever it may be. But anyway, we all know the election's certified on January 6th. But anyway, they're all certified in early January. Why? Aaron just told me today is December 18th. Everyone's going to be on vacation next week, so by the time we get off vacation, we have about like a 10, 12 days until we swear in the next Congress and the next Senate, of which we own the majority in both, and we own the presidency. So what's the point? The point is Mike Johnson is passing a Democratic Party bill for Democrats. Why would he do that if he's a Republican? Because he's not a Republican, nor are most of the congressmen and women on Capitol Hill. They're not. Most Republicans are actually Democrats. Again, credit Dan Bongino. But no Democrats are actually Republicans. Again, credit Dan Bongino. That's a fact. You're seeing it right here. Again, like Greg Stube is a legitimate conservative. A legit conservative. Because he's asking, why are we cutting a deal with Democrats when we don't need the Democrats to pass a bill? Why? I mean, Aaron, can you help me understand this?
Nope.
I need to understand.
You're not going to.
Okay. And why is part of this bill some sort of trade agreement with Haiti who has no government? Why are we sending $40 million a week to the Taliban inside of Afghanistan? Why? Don't worry. Anthony Blinken says, it's just sent to NGOs. But I guess he doesn't realize, again, that finances, all money is fungible. It can just be reallocated. What an idiot. And then you and I want to congratulate Will, and I want to congratulate Aaron, and I want to congratulate myself that us three and all of you that are watching right now, as well as millions of others, are paying for the bridge to be rebuilt in Baltimore that was smashed by a private company.
Oh, my gosh.
In the CR. How's that conservatism? How is a evangelical conservative, which is what I am, how is and I'm telling you, as an evangelical conservative, I would not be paying for a bridge to be repaired that was smashed by a private company.
Right.
Are they going to repair a building?
So, I mean, so exactly how in the world, how in the world are you and I paying for this? How is that conservative in any way, shape, or form? A private company destroys the bridge, and then the taxpayers pay for its repair, and a conservative wrote that? That's a conservative ideal? That's a conservative idea? How? It's not conservative. It, by the way, Baltimore has been Democratic for 6-7 decades. So there must be Democrats involved in this bill. Why? Why? We own the House, and we're about to own the Senate. Even if the government gets shut down, it's reopened on January 3rd. It's December 18th. Who gives a crap? And all you have to do is pass clean bills. Put everybody on the record. Why is it that they call them clean bills? Because they're clean bills. You can go, you know, here's what we're going to fund. We're going to fund it because everyone's getting leveraged into voting for this because they don't want to be on the record not voting to refund FEMA that's allegedly rebuilding North Carolina and rebuilding Georgia and Tennessee. And they're not doing anything, as we all know. Private entities are doing it all and churches are doing it all. But anyway, so nobody wants, so what you do is what's called a clean bill. And you put it on that this is for disaster relief. And they even leave FEMA out of it. This is disaster relief to be allocated by this agency, right? Clean bill and make everybody on the record vote for it or against it. That's what you do. That's what should have happened with Matt Gaetz for AG. Put everybody on the record. Make Lindsey Graham vote up or down on them. And let's watch what they do. Why about we leverage them instead of them leveraging us? How about that? You want to put your political career on the line, baby? Go right ahead. That's what we need to do. Instead of letting all these back rooms, smoke-filled rooms deals be done by fake Republicans like Mike Johnson. Go to the next one for me, Will. End wokeness tweet. Manhattan Project. Wait. Where are we at here?
Yep.
Okay, right. There we go. End wokeness tweet. Manhattan Project, 1942 to 1945. $22 billion adjusted for inflation. Now, just understand the Manhattan Project did not cost $22 billion. That's what it would cost today. Today. Apollo Space Project, 1960-1973, $257 billion adjusted for inflation. Again, that's not what it cost. That's what it would cost if it was done today. Omnibus spending bill that will cover us until March. Covers us until March. $400 billion. Just to keep the government open. The government that does what for you? Has 4 million employees that does what for you? Nothing. And even the stuff they're supposed to do, they don't do. They really actually, they're not even rebuilding bridges. Federal bridges, not ones that were smashed by private companies. They don't even rebuild highways. Military's in the worst shape it's ever been in. Lowest recruitment in 40 years. They don't even do what they're supposed to do. All right, let's go on to the next one. Here's Nancy Mace's video. First thoughts. Here. Look at the pile. The pile of papers comparison. Play it for me.
Okay. So we printed off the CR that dropped last night, and the last CR that Congress did. And wouldn't you know, the CR that was done in September went from September 26th to December 20th. 85 days for this CR. It's 21. Pages. Now we have the next CR that we're going to be voting on in the next day or two. It is 1,547 pages. And wouldn't you know, it lasts for a shorter period of time, 84 days instead of 85 days. I'm not a mathematician, but this does not add up.
I mean, truly amazing. If you look at the comparison right there. Now the one on our left, funded the government, that was the last CR, for longer than the one on the right. It's our government. I don't even know what to say. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's just an absolute atrocity. That's our government. What a disaster. We're $37 trillion in debt. And we're funding our government for not even December, so it's February. I mean, January, February, and March for $400 billion. For what? For what? Look at that. That's what everybody has to read by Friday. By Friday, that's what they just got. You got to vote on this on Friday. Come on. Watch the entire video. It's right there on the top. Rep Nancy Mace on her Twitter page. She'll actually show you. Like the first 14 pages are a table of contents. for a 1,500-page spending bill. It has its own table, a 14-page table of contents. I mean, what do everything needs to be voted for individually? Line item, clean bills. Let's all vote for the disaster relief fund. Good. Let's vote for the military. Good. Let's vote for the Department of Education. How do we vote for that? Eliminate it. And so it should be everything a clean bill. Make everybody go on the record. All right, let's go to the next one. Glenn Beck video. Atlas Wheeler tells me legislators wanted to give the government more power to do gain-of-function research. Play for me.
Let me tell you something else that's in this bill.
Okay.
There is an expansion of the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness and Response Act. Problematic from the name itself, perhaps. We can anticipate what's in it. It allows the government to declare a national emergency in the case of, another COVID-19-like virus. And force vaccines on us, vaccine passports on us, masking, all of the COVID tyranny. This expands it and actually gives government the power to do it. Again, there's a lot wrong with this bill, but if this isn't a deal breaker, why do you even call yourself a Republican?
Yeah, and I do want to remind you, this is a Republican bill. Okay, this is not the Democrats going, I'm going to get this is the House. This is the House's bill. It only gets worse when it goes over to the Senate, and they're putting it. Wait, what additional powers on declaring a national emergency does our president and government need?
Well, according to this bill, it would give them additional power to conduct gain of function research. Of course, just defensively.
Wait. I'm sorry. I've got so much blood in my eyes right now. What did you just say?
The Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness and Response Act, if expanded, would give the government, in the case that the president declared an emergency, if there is another COVID-19, it would give them the power to conduct gain-of-function research.
I wish this wasn't FCC-regulated radio. I can't think of anything that's not obscene to say after that.
All right, so there you go. So 72 pages of this 1,500-page omnibus spending bill that they're calling a CR is for the pandemic preparedness response. Now, let's go back in time, shall we? I'm 56 years old, and we got a good spread here because Will's in his 40s, Aaron's in his early 30s. So how many pandemics have there been in your lifetime that we need 72 pages worth of pandemic preparedness response? In other words, we're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars that are going to be they're not going to be allocated in this fund, in this CR alone, but they're going to open up the door for the further allocation of hundreds of billions of dollars for masking, for vaccination, forced vaccinations, as we already have seen, forced vaccinations. What do you mean forced, Tom? Well, do you not remember that Joe Biden was forcing every company with more than 100 employees to take that every single one of their employees had to be vaccinated. Then they said, well, nobody's forcing them to do that. They're just, if they don't do it, they'll receive a fine of $100,000 per employee per day that doesn't receive it, that works there. So if the employee actually showed up for the day of work, $100,000. So it'd be a mere $700,000 or $500,000 a week per employee that's not vaccinated. I imagine a company that makes $10 million a year, that would bankrupt them pretty quick, wouldn't it? So that would make it a forced vaccination, would it not? And then, of course, forced all federal employees and federal contractors to be vaccinated. Now they lost the private portion of that, but certainly didn't in court, but they did not lose the federal portion of that. But I thought Mike Johnson was a conservative. Isn't Mike Johnson conservative? Why would there be a 72 pages? And like Glenn Beck was saying, that's what I loved about that video. This is a Republican bill. There's no need to negotiate. There's no need to negotiate with a Democrat. It'd be like Christians negotiating with the devil. Why would you? You don't have to. You have all the power. Why would you negotiate with the devil? You don't have to. You've got all the power. He's under your feet. Pandemic preparedness and response for a pandemic. By the way, this is all, of course, from COVID, which was not even a pandemic. If you're going to have a pandemic, then you have to have excess deaths. You have to have excess deaths. We had zero. So how was it a pandemic? So why do we need a pandemic preparedness response? No, Tom. No, Tom. 1.2 million Americans died of COVID-19. No, they took deaths from other causes and labeled them COVID deaths because we had no excess deaths. If actually 1.2 million people died of a novel virus, then, which remember Joe Biden from the James O'Keefe doesn't know the name, doesn't know what novel means. Remember that from James O'Keefe video from yesterday? But anyway, I digress. If 1.2 million Americans died of a novel virus, then we'd have 1.2 million excess deaths, but we had no excess deaths in 2020 or 2021. No, actually, we started to have excess deaths after the vaccine rollout. That's when we started to have the excess deaths, but not during the most severe variant, the alpha variant. There was no excess deaths in all of 2020. Weird, isn't it? But you have to have a 72-page section of the CR dedicated to pandemic preparedness and response. Aaron filled me in on some other aspects of it because it's all starting to leak out now, so he's getting more little nuggets out of this thing. $8 billion, I want to congratulate him. Congratulate all you Americans that we're sending another $8 billion to Ukraine for them to buy weapons. Just wanted to. We're probably sending them $8 billion worth of our own weapons so they don't have to buy them themselves. And then in the midst of that, we're sending $16 billion to our own military to refill their own weapons inventory because that inventory is being taken over by Ukraine. That's our government. I mean, it's so pathetic, it's hard to talk about. All right, here's one of my favorite videos of the night. Eric Doherty video. Holy S, Democrat Senator Dick Durbin just body slammed the mainstream media. You're talking about Tricky Dicky Durbin, the one who won't release the Epstein flight logs? That's correct. Play for me, Will.
Members are giving themselves a pay raise. Do you guys deserve a pay raise?
Well, that's news to me. It's good news. You know, what has it been, 10 years or 14 years of no COLA, no change at all? I think it's about time something's done.
You support giving yourselves a pay raise. It is.
How would I not know about pay raise?
But people look at the performance of Congress and say, why should we give them more money?
What about the media? Think about that for a second.
And we're not paid by public money.
I know you're not, but I mean, half of your listeners are not there anymore. You're still getting the same paycheck? What's going on?
One. I love to see them turn on each other. I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, this is, you can put up this next one, Will. Stunning news release right here. This is absolutely going to rock the male segment of the United States population because Whoopi Goldberg has joined anti-Trump sex strike. My vagina is now closed. So.
Thank you.
You know, all the men out there, you know what? That is no longer available to you. I know that's going to absolutely crush your libido that is no longer available to you. Her vagina is closed. Just wanted to let you know because Trump got elected president. All right, let's go to the next one. Just some stuff. Oh, Dick Durbin. So Dick Durbin is complaining he needs a raise. All right. Dick Durbin's net worth is most commonly cited to be around $2.5 million to $3 million. He needs a raise. Also, some estimates have it as high as $10 million. That's weird. And he needs a raise. He's complaining about he wants a COLA increase. Thank you, guys. COLA increase. You know, cost of living increase. So there you go, cost of living increase. And he's worth somewhere between $3 and $10 million. And he has to have a cost of living increase. He doesn't have any house payments. He's got no mortgage. I mean, it's all been paid off. We know that. And he's worth $3 to $10 million. And he's worried about a cost of living increase. All right, just some miscellaneous stuff. And then we're going to get into Matt Gaetz for a couple minutes. All right. Rose 9C11 video. This is on Fannie Willis. Now you're like, Tom, Fannie Willis kind of out of the headlines right now. Well, let's get to the origins of what actually happened with Fannie Willis, shall we? And what's going on right now. Here's Megyn Kelly with a guest, Rose 9C11, talking about Fannie Willis. Play for me, Will.
I understand you have breaking news. What is it?
The Georgia State Senate has an investigation going on into the Fulton District Attorney's Office. There's a committee that's looking into this. Today, they've issued a subpoena. They've issued a subpoena to Attorney Ashley Merchant for all of her text communications related to this case. This is getting the attention of the authorities, not only in the state Senate, but there's ethics things going on here in Georgia. Fannie Willis has a lot that she needs. She's going to have to be on defense for the foreseeable future. But suffice it to say, the Senate is now seeking all of these text communications to see if they can figure out what's going on. There's lots going on for her. And like we have said, I don't know if it was yesterday or last week, the truth will come out one way or another. And here.
So you just had Nathan Wade. He had to testify before Congress, Fannie Willis's lover, that he was meeting with White House attorneys about the Atlanta case of Trump obstructing their election, right? That is a violation of federal law. That is a conspiracy against rights violation of federal law, where you have local law enforcement conspiring with a political opponent to indict and or prosecute his political opponent. So you had Nathan Wade meeting with Donald Trump's political opponent to prosecute Donald Trump. That is a violation of federal law, conspiracy against rights. And now you're having Georgia itself telling this specifically DA Ashley Merchant, preserve your documents and now turn in all of your correspondence in relationship to this case. It's going down for Fannie. Fannie's going to go to federal prison, so is Nathan Wade. Nathan Wade just had to admit at a congressional hearing under oath that he met for 16 hours with Joe Biden's attorneys inside of the White House. So you have Joe Biden participating in the prosecution of his number one political opponent who ended up technically beating him in the presidential race. It's a conspiracy against rights. Now, who orchestrated this whole Fannie Willis thing? Who did it exactly? This is Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson. I don't want to tell you who it is. Listen for the name. Play it for me.
But here's what she had to say about Fannie, that Fannie Willis was actually initially proposed. Listen to her recounting of the interaction.
Fannie Willis was opposed to RICO, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, like, she was trying to bring the case. She I don't know why, but she really wanted to bring something. Mm-hmm. And I know what I heard, and Bill Barr said, let's bring a RICO case. And why I never forgot was because he told RICO case can be anything.
Saying that Fannie was initially opposed, but that Bill Barr pressed her, saying that a RICO case is easier.
I mean, that's a hard thing to just fabricate, you know? That's why when I heard it, I was like, what? You know, and if you can hear me on the audio, like, what? Because the disbelief, but then...
So Fannie Willis didn't want to charge Donald Trump under RICO statutes. Remember, that's who she hired, Nathan Wade, who had no experience in prosecuting RICO statutes. He has only experienced as traffic tickets. But she hires Nathan Wade to do it. She didn't even want to do it. She was Matthew Colangelo style with Alvin Bragg. She was pushed into it by Bill Barr, Trump's attorney general at the time. The man who said there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the election. Who was completely wrong about that. But then, even Fannie, and I can't say how everybody's calling her Fannie. There's no W in her name. It's not F-A-W-N, Fannie, I-E. It is not. It's F-A-N. How do you, Aaron, if you are a F-A-N of the Buccaneers, what are you?
Fan.
A fan.
Yep.
That her name is F-A-N-I. Her name is Fannie. Sorry, stop calling her Fannie. There's no way it's Fannie. There's no W. It's like, Tom, you just get captivated by little things. I know, but I can't stand it. So anyway, so it was Bill Barr who urged her to prosecute Trump. And then Alvin Bragg didn't want to prosecute Trump either under the fake 34 felonies that don't even exist in criminal code. But anyway, so they sent the number three person, Matthew Colangelo from the DOJ, to urge him to do it. And then Colangelo prosecuted the case himself. But, you know, allegedly, according to Merrick Garland, he wasn't dispatched there by Merrick Garland. Bill Barr initiated the Fannie Willis case. He is the embodiment. He is the absolute epitome of what I'm talking about. Do you ever think he's ever been a Republican? No, he's a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist who occasionally has to put out the veneer of conservatism so that people continue to appoint him as a conservative. The veneer of conservatism, the mirage of conservatism, i.e. the Murkowski, Collins, Graham, McConnell, Rubio, the veneer of conservatism, so that they can continue to be elected as conservatives and faking us all into voting for them as conservatives. All right, let me switch on to Matt Gaetz. Let me read this to you first. The House Ethics Committee has recently decided, this came out today, to make public its investigative report of the conduct of former Representative Matt Gaetz. The report, which follows allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use, was voted to be released in a, get ready, guys, a confidential ballot by the House Ethics Committee, which has four Republicans and four Democrats on it. And nobody, but of course, there's going to have to be at least one Republican who voted for it.
Yep.
But it's a confidential ballot that you and I are allowed to see. It could have been 8-0. It could have been 7-1. It could have been, let's see, 5-3. But you and I will never get to see it. Why do we have elected representatives if we're not allowed to see how they vote? Can anybody explain to me how that is allowed under the Constitution, how that's legal under the Constitution? The decision marks a reversal from a previous vote not to disclose the findings. And by the way, the first time this has ever happened in the history of the United States of America, where a House Ethics Committee report is being released to the public, ever. Ever. Which, by the way, and you're going to see this in the videos to follow, if we're going to release this one, I want the names of the Republicans and Democrat members of the House and Senate who utilized $17 million of taxpayer dollars to cover up for their sexual offenses. I want them all. If we're going to release it, let's do it. And here's the thing. Anybody who doesn't want to do it needs to be primaried out of office. We don't have time for these weak, spineless worms anymore. It's just like, as you see, the return of the Lord draw nigh, and the Antichrist, Beast 1, Beast 2, and the dragon start to point their eyes above the surface of the water. You don't need spineless little worms in the pulpit. You need people who preach the word instantly, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Aaron puts it up, Foundation Church.
Amen.
That's what you need in these times. We don't need squishy little spineless Republicans. So if we're going to release the Gaetz report, I want everybody who has ever used those $17 million worth of taxpayer dollars, ever used them to cover up for their sexual offenses. I want the list, because there's a list. Because there is certainly financial disclosure forms, financial allocation forms that will disclose who used that money out of that $17 million pot. All right, go to the Gateway Pundit. Breaking House at no Gateway Pundit. Okay, we got to get it right here, guys.
Yep.
All right, let's get it right now. Let's get things right. Let's stop doing that crap. All right, here we go. Gateway Pundit. Breaking House Ethics Committee. Breaking votes to release damaging lawfare report of Gaetz before end of Congress. Gaetz response. Here's the article. The House Ethics panel secretly voted to release a damaging lawfare report of Matt Gaetz before the end of this Congress, according to CNN. The panel previously voted not to release the report after Gaetz resigned from Congress last month. You know why? He's no longer a congressman, so you don't release a report about a congressman who's no longer a congressman. Earlier this month, it's like impeaching Trump when he's no longer the president, but that's the new precedent. Earlier this month, the House of Representatives voted to block resolutions by Democrats to force the House Ethics Committee from releasing the report on Gaetz. The House Ethics Committee secretly voted earlier this month. So earlier this month, the House of Representatives voted to block Democrats from being able to force the House Ethics Committee into releasing the report on Gaetz. The House Ethics Committee secretly voted earlier this month. So wait a minute. Earlier this month, House of Representatives voted to block resolutions by Democrats. So Republicans voted to block resolutions by Democrats who were trying to force the House Ethics Committee to release the report. They blocked it then, but now This committee that's chaired by a Republican named Michael Guest has now secretly voted, because at least one Republican had to have crossed over. So now Republicans have secretly voted to release a report that Republicans tried to block Democrats from forcing them to release just a month ago. The House Ethics Committee secretly voted earlier this month to release its report into the conduct of former Rep. Matt Gaetz before the end of this Congress, according to multiple sources. So why do we have Republicans serving Democrats? How would this help Republicans? How does this help Republicans? So how do you, in a House that's run by Republicans, why would they be helping Democrats? Because they're not conservatives. They're not Republicans. They're Republicans in name only. They're actually voting Democrats. They vote Democrat every chance they get. Any chance they get to vote Democrat, in their personal lives, they vote Democrat every time. That's why you see, again, whether it's Thune, whether it's Cornyn, whether it's Joni Ernst, they have somewhere around a 50% Liberty Score rating. So 50% of the time, they vote with Chuck Schumer and Ilhan Omar. That's who these people are. The report is now expected to be made public after the House's final day of votes. Why would you be helping Democrats right now, making sure that you do this before you have Trump in office, before you own the Senate, and before you have a new Congress that's owned by Republicans? Because you're not legitimately a Republican. The report is now expected to be made public after the House's final day of votes this year as lawmakers leave Washington for the holidays, those sources said. The vote, which has not previously been reported, amounts to a stark reversal for the panel that's the House Ethics Committee, run by unethical people, of course, because now ethical means unethical, and unethical means ethical, because it's an inverted world. Stark reversal for the panel after it had voted along party lines in late November not to release the results of the investigation. The decision to release the report suggests that some Republicans ultimately decided to side with Democrats because they are Democrats on the matter. And it is unclear if the committee will once again change course now that it has voted. When the committee voted last month to shelve the report, Gaetz was president-elect Donald Trump's choice to be attorney general. Since then, Gaetz withdrew himself from consideration for the Senate confirmed post, though he maintains frosty relations with many of his party and is still active in GOP politics. But it no longer, House ethics reports no longer they're never released, period. They're never even released when the subject of that investigation is still a member of Congress. And they certainly are never released when the subject of the investigation is no longer a member of Congress. Why would you release it? Why would you release it? Because it's about that the House Ethics Committee investigation is about investigating a member of Congress to see if you want to levy sanctions upon him. That's it. So why would you, and he was exonerated, why would you release it? You decided not to level sanctions against him while he was a congressman. Now he's no longer in Congress, so why would you release the report? All right, go to the next one for me. So here is I want to show everybody, this is the House Ethics Committee. Republicans, Chairman Michael Guest, David Joyce, you ever heard any of these people? John Rutherford, Andrew Garbarino, and Michelle Fischbeck. Democrats, Ranking Member Susan Wild, who has been caught leaking the Matt Gaetz report into the public. Conspiracy against rights. She needs to be criminally prosecuted. That's a fact, by the way. It's part of the Gateway Pundit report. Michelle Wild, right there, has been caught leaking the Gaetz investigative material to the media. She needs to be criminally prosecuted for doing that. Veronica Escobar, Mark Whatever, Deborah Ross, and Glenn Ivey. All right, go to the next one for me. So, Quiver Quantitative tweet. Representative Michael Guest bought stock in ExxonMobil while sitting on the Energy Subcommittee. That's what I said right after the pregame. If you are sitting on a committee that governs an entity of the economy, you should not be able to invest in that entity of the economy. But, of course, Michael Guest of the Ethics Committee, the Ethical Committee, he himself invested into the area of the economy of which he is governing. The stock has risen. Oh, just, Aaron, get this, a mere 145%.
Oh,
that's it.
That's normal.
That's what everybody gets, right? Yeah, don't you get that?
Totally normal.
That's what everybody gets, 145% increase.
Yeah.
Guest is also the chairman of the House Ethics Committee. This puts him in. So he invests in stocks in the area of the economy that he's governing, gets 145% return, and he's on the House Ethics Committee. This puts him in charge of enforcing the Stock Act. So he's in charge of what congressmen and women can do as far as stock investments, while he himself makes 145% profit on an energy stock, which is the area of the economy he governs. Amazing. All right. Now, why did Michael Guest? Now, hey, go back to the previous. Can you go back to the previous slide with all the names on it? So now, I want you to see these names. Go to the Republican side. So there you go. Chairman Michael Guest, and then see down two people down from him. John Rutherford. So remember the names. Now we can go to the next one. Well, Rutherford and Guest. Rutherford and Guest. I wonder why they're releasing this report. None of these reports have ever been released for an active member of Congress or an inactive member of Congress ever in the history of the United States of America. But suddenly this report is being released. I wonder why. Remember the names, Guest and Rutherford. Play for me, Will.
Congressman Gates offered to take us on a tour.
So one of the committees where people have a lot of information is the Appropriations Committee, because they can view almost any vector of government funding. And so, you know, this is Mr. Rutherford's office. He's on the Ethics Committee and the Appropriations Committee. 152 stock trades. Stocks go through the roof. And, you know, actually bought Raytheon stock the day that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if every American could make money off of war.
Yeah, setting aside the whole shame and ethics questions. How many more on our hit list here?
There are a few more. I wish there were fewer on the hit list. I wish we could only stop at one or two offices, but as it turns out, energy is a sector that sees a lot of congressional stock trading.
Sure.
And we have members who are on the Energy Subcommittee of Appropriations, like Michael Guest, chairman of the Ethics Committee, and he's traded somewhere between tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in energy stocks. He's been buying online gaming stocks and just making a killing on them. So you would think that the people that were on the Ethics Committee would be your best allies in this fight, but indeed, they're some of the most prolific traders. And not only trading, but in the case of Mr. Guest, trading in an area where he has access to energy information more so than almost any other American.
And no indication that he wants to maybe slow down, pump the brakes, recognize that there might be some appearance of impropriety here?
It seems as though the pace is only accelerating.
All right.
So the two members of the Ethics Committee suddenly want to release the Gates report. Again, none of these reports have ever been released for an active member of Congress, to say the least, for an inactive member of Congress. Never have been released, ever, ever. And suddenly they're being released because Matt Gaetz exposed two members of the Ethics Committee's stock trades that they made using their positions in Congress to make. Of you already heard, Guest made 145% on Exxon. 145%. He's sitting on the energy subcommittee. So they regulate the energy companies. He trades in energy stocks and makes 145%. Not to mention NVIDIA stock. He bought right before they quarterly closed. It made a bunch of money. So he knew what they were going to close at, but nobody else knew that. Rutherford makes 152 stock trades. The biggest one, the biggest named one, I shouldn't say it's the biggest named one, but it's the one that Gates named. He bought Raytheon stock. That's, you know, Lloyd Austin, our DOD, Defense Secretary. Lloyd Austin was, you know, again, all these people know each other. It's a circle bleep symbiote. He is on, of course, their board of directors. When he's not in government, he's on the Raytheon board of directors. But Rutherford bought Raytheon stock 3 days before the start of the Ukraine war. That's weird. And again, interesting with that is that was all settled. The Ukraine war was settled. It was done. Zelensky agreed to it. Zelensky, all that Putin asked for. Putin said, you know what? Just don't join NATO. No war. Zelensky agreed to it. Joe Biden didn't like it because Joe Biden needs Ukraine to burn. I can't get into that right now. But Joe Biden didn't like it, so he dispatched Boris Johnson there to reinstigate the war, of which Rutherford buys Raytheon stock 3 days before the war starts. It's almost as if they're initiating certain events so they can buy stock on those events and profit. Or is it the other way around? I don't know. Is it that they make the things happen so they can buy stock, or do they buy the stock after they know something's going to happen? I don't know. Do they instigate the event to buy stock, or do they just know the event's going to happen so they buy stock? I don't know. But that's our government. All right, 27 after. All right, Rumble Rants, Volvo 960, $25. Refidota, $20. Buckeye Nut, 1968, $10. Tammy L. Margarator, the matriarch of the Rumble Rant, $10. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. I'm supposed to be done at 10 o'clock, but I got it done at 10:27. Now, I have to tell you something. This is important. This is really important. This is one of the greatest post games ever. I know I don't always say they're one of the greatest ever, though. I say they're great, and sometimes I don't say they're great. This is one of the greatest, funniest. There's some heavy stuff in there, but not much. One of the funniest post games ever. Stick around for it. I'm done screaming at you. I'll be back screaming at you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Love you guys. Appreciate you. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8:16-17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.